Well, there are some teachers, some mentors in your life that you never forget. Those people whose lessons, whose character just stick with you many years down the road. For me, one of those teachers was the Reverend Dr. Winston Persaud when I was at Wartburg Seminary. He taught the class systematic theology, which is arguably one of the more complex and intellectual areas that you will study in seminary. But even so, in these classes that hold all the potential to either make your head spin or make you fall asleep, Dr. Persaud had this gift of always being engaging and inspiring. Why? He was always talking about fruit, more specifically, mangoes. See, Winston Persaud, he was sort of the embodiment of someone who was multicultural. At first, when I met him, I wasn't really sure where he was originally from. At first, I thought he was from India. He was of Indian descent. But then, as I talked with him, he had an accent that sounded kind of British. But then later, I learned he was actually from South America, from Guyana. He was born in Guyana. His family were descendants of immigrants from India. And he had studied in Oxford, and now he lives in Dubuque, Iowa. So it's like a normal life that all of us lead, right? But much like Jesus, Winston had this gift for taking complex theological questions and using allegories or metaphors to help bring about a deeper understanding. And so one of the things he loved to talk about was his growing up in Guyana. And whenever we talked about the theological concept of righteousness, he would start talking about mangoes. And he would say this, righteousness is like a mango tree. When a tree is living as it is, as God created it to be, and producing the fruit God created it to produce, it is righteous. It produces the most amazing, delicious, and abundant fruit. He would go on to tell stories about his childhood and the mango tree in the front yard, how they would grab these fresh mangoes and just bite into them and the juice would be dripping down your chin. And it was so glorious. Righteousness, he said, is becoming what God created you to be and producing the fruit God created you to produce. Or, as Paul talks about it today in our readings, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we are in the series, The Essential Jesus. You might be asking yourself, wait a minute, Pastor Josh, I thought we were talking about Jesus. Why are we looking at Paul's stuff? Well, here's the thing. The whole of the Gospels, throughout, Jesus is talking about this new way of life, living as God created us to live, and often he talks about the fruit that we bear. He talks about it in the Beatitudes, in Matthew 5, in John 15. He talks about how we are, he is the vine, we are the branches, things like that. He's always talking about these parables with gardens and seeds and growth and life. And Jesus teaches and embodies these core values, these characteristics that are essential to living the way of Jesus. And Paul gives this clear, more concise explanation in his letters, but if you look at the whole life of Jesus, you see all of these things laid out. I just kind of figured that today none of us wanted to read through the whole Gospels from start to finish, so we'll just read Paul's letters. But what is the fruit of the Spirit? Where do we find this? In Galatians 5, Paul writes most clearly about this, and here he contrasts lists. He has what he calls the desires of the flesh, these kind of destructive, sinful things, and then the fruit of the Spirit. He also talks about it in a very similar way in Colossians chapter 3 that we started with today. So I want to put those up on the screen for us now. Paul says that if we have been raised to new life in Christ, we are a new creation, and that our lives, our values, our actions should not look the same way as the world outside. They should look more like Jesus every day. And I love how in Colossians, Paul says that we are to put on these things, right? Because none of us are perfect. But Paul reminds us that each day we have to be intentional. We have to practice these things: compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, love, peace, and gratitude. And then Paul talks about it again in Galatians, and he gets a little longer list and adds some other things to it: joy, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I want to look at this list. I wanted this on the screen. I mean, doesn't this look like a beautiful way to live? I mean, imagine a world where in a community, a culture where these are the highest ideals, where these are the values that people live out day after day after day. Can you imagine how beautiful and wonderful that world would be? if our lives all bore these kinds of fruits. It makes me wonder, why on earth do we choose any other way, choose a more painful way? Well, the reality is sin is real. Temptation is real. Evil is real. And as beautiful as we believe this ideal to be, Scripture also teaches us that all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. You see, in order to say yes to these things, we also have to be willing to say no to some other things. And that's why Paul holds up this kind of mirror image of these other challenges that we face. And this next slide puts these on the screen. And if you look at all of these, I didn't even list all of them, it's a pretty awful list, isn't it? And it makes me wonder, who wants to live this way? And yet, we all do, don't we? All of us choose pieces of these things each and every day. Why do we do this? Well, I think as we live in this culture of fear, division, selfishness, and blame, we're always being convinced that there's some other story, we're promised a quick fix or a false solution, or when we're afraid or when we're hurt, we lash out and react and hurt others. Sometimes maybe we don't want to face our own sinfulness, and it's easier to just cast direction or attention to someone else with blame. You see, if we hope to live and experience this life Jesus offers, then repentance has to be a part of the equation. Repentance is saying no to the desires of the flesh, no to the death-dealing ways of the world, no to the culture of fear, division, selfishness, and blame, so that we can say yes to the grace of God, that we can say yes to the mercy of Jesus, so that we can say yes to open our hearts and our minds to the healing and transformative work of the Holy Spirit in us. And as much as the fruit of the Spirit may look like a to-do list, it's important to remember it's no to-do list that we can do on our own, is it? But that doesn't mean we give up. We keep coming back to God over and over in humility, in repentance. We continue letting God work in us, practicing each and every day living out these things. I think it's kind of like when your kids are trying to learn how to ride a bike. You know, you start off and you've got training wheels on this bike and they try and get out there and ride, but it's hard, and maybe they fall down and they skin their knees. And what do you do as a parent? You come and you say, "It's okay. I'm here. I love you. We're going to keep trying over and over again." And so they keep practicing, and eventually you take off one training wheel, maybe the other one. Eventually you find yourself running down the road behind the bike, holding the seat, really wishing you had worked out a lot the months prior to this. But you love your kids, so you keep helping them practice until one day they finally get it. It finally clicks, and you think, "Oh, we're there." But then, of course, there will be times when they fail, when they crash, when they get hurt. They come in with tears in their eyes and skinned knees, and what do you say? "It's okay. I'm here. I love you. We'll keep trying." It's that way with God. God will never give up on us. But God also knows it's not easy, right? That's why Jesus warns us of some pitfalls and dangers that we need to be on the lookout for. So we heard in the gospel today where Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves." You see, in Jesus' day, there were some religious leaders that were not really doing what was right or best. They were cruel or dishonest. There were some who were seeking their own power or status or wealth by exploiting others and taking advantage of them. One of the practices that was happening in Jesus' time is some of the temple leaders were actually colluding with Rome as a way to save face and then exploit the people who would come seeking hope and prayer from God. There were some teachers that were simply teaching in a way that really puffed themselves up while they were tearing others down. But even as they practiced these things like envy and slander, malice, greed, idolatry, and factions, they would do so claiming it was in the name of God, that this is what God wanted. Paul and the apostles wrestled with this same cognitive dissonance, with this same dangerous hypocrisy. And what do you do when someone is claiming to be doing something in God's name? How can you tell if it's right or not? How can you tell if it's true? How can you discern when someone's actually doing the will of God or just serving their own selfish desires? Well, Jesus says you will know them by their fruits, right? He says every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good. You see, Winston Persaud was right. It always comes back to mangoes. Sticks with you. You see, the issue and the need for discernment and something to hold that up against, it was there in Jesus' day. It was there in the time of Paul. It was there in the time of the apostles. And it's still there in our day, right? There are plenty of people in the world seeking their own power, wealth, and influence, but claiming to do things in Jesus' name. And yet, the fruit that's being born is maybe not so good. And if people are being hurt, then maybe we should be skeptical of that message. We've seen it in history, we see it still today. People that would do evil or even claim it for the cause of Jesus. And in our modern internet-flooded era, it can be more difficult than it's ever been to discern the truth, right? But that just means it's more critical than ever that we do discern the truth. And how can you tell who is sincere, who is speaking truthfully of what God wants for us? Jesus says, you will know a tree by its fruit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of God? Paul tells us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, humility. You see, if we want to truly live the way of Jesus, to live the life God created us to live and transform the world around us, to heal the world around us, these are the values, these are the ideals that we should aspire toward. These are the values that we should support and elevate in the world. These are the characteristics that our actions, our words, our hearts, our very lives should be radiating every day. And friends, it's important to remember too that a mango tree doesn't grow and bear delicious fruit just on its own. It needs to be cultivated. It needs water and fertilizer. It needs to be tended, right? It needs sunlight. The same is true of our own hearts. We need to draw nearer to God, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, to water goodness and mercy in our lives. We need to draw near to Jesus and allow him to shine that compassion on us like warm sunlight. We need to take the time to remove from ourselves every poison in the soil of our hearts, to guard our minds from the axes of hatred. We draw close to God, and we draw close to one another in prayer and worship, to challenge each other, to support each other, to strengthen each other, so that together we can become the people God created us to be, so that we can bear the fruit God created us to bear for the sake of the world. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for showing us what it is to live a life in you, that Jesus was so persistent and consistent in showing us these fruits of your Spirit, your heart for our lives and for the world. God, we know and we confess that we sometimes get really off track when we're afraid, when we're hurt. But Lord, we ask you to work in our hearts. Don't give up on us. Send your Spirit. Help form our hearts and minds that we might be people who are after your own heart, God, that we might be people that radiate and multiply the things of your Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, humility, compassion. Help us be people of hope, people of joy, God. In Jesus' name, amen.